Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You're Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I'm Danny Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. The Warriors had an overall impressive 122-107 win in Memphis over the Grizzlies, the only team to beat them twice this year. And the high point, the dominant figure, was, of course, Draymond Green. And statistical anomaly games happen. That's just the nature of a long season, especially with somebody like Draymond, who is active in so many different ways. And I want to note at the beginning of this that while the numbers themselves were unusual, his impact on the game was about what it usually is. You know, it was a great game for him, very impactful defensively, but some of that impact was translated into stats more than it often is. So it was not his best game or anything like that, and you'll hear people say that, but it was a magnificent effort and a really impressive display of what makes him great. We don't have perfect data going back through the annals of the NBA, but this is at least the first game since 1983, which is what Basketball Reference uses, where a player had a triple-double, and one of those was not points. Draymond had 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 steals, 10 steals being a Warriors franchise high, being one off the NBA record for steals, and also was very close to a 5x5, which is another statistical darling thing because he had 5 blocks and just 4 points. So if he had gotten one more point, he would have gotten a triple-double 5x5, which has only ever happened twice in NBA history, both times being Hakeem Olajuwon, because Hakeem Olajuwon has all of these records. He also has, I believe, the only quadruple-double or one of the only quadruple-doubles. So Draymond had those 10 steals, and that's a remarkable achievement. And it was reflective of the type of game that he had. He was super active in man coverage, and so like when he had a guy on him, a couple nice picks on Marc Gasol, who was trying to dribble in front of him, and he can just read that play. And also a lot in the more help defense team concept, where somebody made a pass, Draymond read it, got in the way. And a big reason why the Warriors were able to take this game so comfortably is that they had an absolutely massive advantage in fast break points. It was 30-13 overall. I believe it was 19-point margin at the end of the third quarter. And at that point, the Warriors led by 21. So you could attribute a lot of that difference to transition, and a player having 10 steals is a really easy way to do that, especially because he had 10 steals. The Warriors had 14 as a team, and he directly accounted for, even if you just with steals, he accounted for more than half of the Warriors' turnovers, forced turnovers. So a great game in that way for him. Green was also active in terms of blocking shots. He had 2 blocks in the first half and then 3 in the second half to get all the way up to 5. And was great in the team concept. I did a radio spot with 95.7 FM after the game, and we were talking about the idea of Draymond having an impact, and he has become so much more comfortable with being a difference maker and not relying on scoring and shooting to get there. He only had 6 shot attempts in this game. It was 3 from 3, 3 from 2, and at least one of them was that big transition dunk, which really did swing the game. He had a steal on Gasol and then beat him down the court, got a dunk. I think that put the Warriors up like 8 or something like that when it was getting a little bit dicier. And he was excellent. Those opportunities created by Green and by the other Warriors had another big beneficiary, and that was Klay Thompson. Thompson had a monster game offensively, and a lot of that was getting open. And getting open isn't always an individual accomplishment or always a team accomplishment, and in this game it was a lot of both. Klay Thompson had Tony Allen on him a lot of this game. Tony Allen is one of the best defenders in the game still. 35 years old, still one of the best defenders. But one of the reasons Thompson got open so much was because his teammates were creating seams, and Tony Allen is a very good team defender. And so he reacted to the bigger threat, and that was often coming in to help on Durant, on Curry, on whoever. And then Klay Thompson was left comparatively open. They got the ball to Klay. Klay's going to take the shot. Oftentimes, especially when it's open, Klay's going to make the shot. And that is an incredibly useful safety valve in the Warriors' offense. Some nights it's more effective than others, but like, for example, he had 8 shots in that first quarter, and at least 6 of them were wide open, clean looks, just great opportunities. And that is no slight on Thompson, because a lot of those required his own work, being in the right place at the right time, catching the pass, taking the shot. All of those are incredibly important, and there are many, many players who would love to be able to do what Klay Thompson does and cannot. So he did a masterful job of taking advantage of those, creating some of them himself, and being active on defense as well. Was not necessarily his best game there, but that's also just the nature of the competition. Tony Allen, James Ennis were their wings. Curry had Mike Conley a fair portion of the game, and Memphis just doesn't provide that type of challenge for a guard. And I thought Klay did a really nice job overall, though, of doing exactly what was asked of him. And I wrote about this for The Athletic, but one of the other big takeaways from this game, and this has been true a couple times recently, was that a lot of the support players did a really nice job against the Grizzlies. Andre Iguodala had one of his best scoring nights as a Warrior, 22 points, 6 of 7 from the field, 8 of 11 from the line. And that 8 of 11, I looked it up because I was trying to, I was thinking back of like, has Iguodala had that kind of a game? And the answer was, yeah, he's had a couple of big free throw games, but 8, I believe, was, I think his most made free throws as a Warrior is 9, and his most attempted was 11. So he tied one personal high as a Warrior and just short of the other one. And that's awfully impressive considering he played 28 minutes in this game. This wasn't a circumstance of volume creating history. And of course, he's had wonderful games as members of other teams, most notably the Sixers. But Iguodala had a big performance as a scorer, more so than a distributor, though he did have 4 assists and no turnovers, adding again to his league-leading assist-to-turnover ratio. And that's significant, because early in the year, many of us, and I would include myself in this, thus the us, were worried about Iguodala's continued impact, that he's still one of the players in the death lineup. He's still an important player. They haven't replaced him in that way. And so if he had to take a step back, due to athleticism, due to age, you know, however you want to piece it together, it was going to really hurt the Warriors in terms of their best 5-man lineups. And he's had some really nice moments over the last few weeks as a reminder that he still has that fastball or something close to it. And his offensive role has changed with Kevin Durant, but I think it's more suited to what he does well. And the possibility, maybe even probability, of Durant taking on some of the more challenging wing scoring defensive assignments for all or portions of games really opens up Iguodala to be more of a team defender, to go in that aspect. And we've seen in the past that he can be very, very good at that. So I don't know exactly what the Warriors' defense, particularly with small lineups, is going to look like in the playoffs, but that concept is absolutely fascinating, especially because Durant can work as a help weak side defender as well. So I think they'll do some different things depending on the matchup, depending on the circumstance, but Iguodala's offensive role was nice. And while JaVale McGee did not have his best game, if you scale it based on expectations, not only the fact that there was a possibility he wasn't going to play due to, I believe they called it like a glute issue because of the fall that he had against Robin Lopez in the Bulls game, but also because Marc Gasol is just an absolutely abysmal matchup for him. Gasol is so smart and so skilled and knows how to use his size, and now he can shoot threes, that JaVale McGee was always going to have a rough game against him, but I thought he kept his wits about him pretty well. Got in a little bit of foul stuff in the third quarter, though. That wasn't, you know, as it ended up being, you know, if the Warriors are going to go to a small lineup late, or if they're going to do whatever, they can push McGee, even in the starter's role, more in terms of fouls, because they're not going to need him at the end of the game. And another reason why they can do that is because Kevon Looney and James Michael McAdoo were pretty solid in this. I mean, they weren't at the level of where you just set it and forget it, where you just put them in the game and everything's fine. But they were put in some really challenging spots. At one point, I believe it was in the first quarter, the Warriors were playing Durant and Looney as their 4 and 5, and Memphis still had Randolph and Gasol out there, and the Warriors did reasonably well in that spot. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but they did a nice job. I thought Looney fought during the time that he was on the floor, was active, and McAdoo got more baskets. He scored 8 points, but a lot of that is just due to being active in the right way and the teammates knowing how to find him. He's closer to McGee in terms of that fit within the offense. He knows where to be, has more experience with it, being on the team and being healthy last year, whereas Looney was still coming back. But I thought thought Looney did a nice job with a more demanding role. And McAdoo was also better defensively than we've seen so far. So the best way I know to phrase what's happened during this combined absence, which could have been catastrophic, of Pachulia and West is that the Warriors probably haven't created any challenges for themselves in terms of these guys playing themselves into mandatory roles that are larger than the team can justify. But they can feel more comfortable in McGee, Looney, and McAdoo taking a larger role when the situation presents itself. That can happen due to injuries or it can happen due to foul trouble, depending on circumstance. And that's incredibly important when dealing with a team that is shallow in a lot of ways, that doesn't have a ton of depth at every position. So feeling comfortable that if Pachulia has to miss a game here or there, if David West isn't feeling it that night, that they can turn to McGee, that they can turn to Looney, and maybe sometimes McAdoo, and not feel like the wheels are going to fall off the train. That's incredibly important, and something that a lot of coaches do not have the flexibility to do. There's a reason why some teams overplay their starters, and it's because they don't have faith in their bench. And the Warriors have had issues with that, and actually, to a point, did in this game. Curry, Thompson, and Draymond all played 35 or more minutes. Thompson and Green closer to 38 than 35, which is what Curry played. And the Warriors will need that depth, not as much in the playoffs, unless people get hurt, but the later stages of the regular season, it will become more and more important, especially after the All-Star break, when there are some moments where the schedule makers just go, hey, you know, we just had a week off, we're going to put more games close together and everything like that. So an important day for all of those reasons, beyond Draymond having this absolutely spectacular game, which he certainly did. And I also wanted to take a little bit to talk about Durant, because Durant struggled to find his jump shot for a lot of this game. He was missing shots that you would expect him to make considering his reliable jumper, but he was still able to be productive offensively because he got to the line a ton and made a large portion of those. He was 11 of 14 from the line, so despite being 5 of 14 from the field in this game, he still had 24 points and was reasonably efficient. So he needs to be able to have those kind of games as a fallback for when other things aren't going well. Klay was a monster offensively. Draymond had that defensive game, so the Warriors didn't need everything from Durant, but proving that he can do that, and Memphis fouls a lot, so Memphis is a very foul-happy team, so it's not the most surprising thing in the world that he was able to get them in situations where they had to foul him, but still nice to do all the same, especially when Iguodala gets 11 free throw attempts himself. So a nice performance from him. We didn't get the same kind of resolution on the guard rotation as we did on the big man rotation. McCaw was fine. He didn't really get to play that much. Clark was barely out there. And I thought Briante Weber looked good. He only played 2 minutes, but I thought he looked good when he was out there. And even if his role is just garbage time for this 10-day contract, and who knows what happens after that, he is more than worth it. And I like Weber a lot. He could potentially be good enough to sign to a rest of the season contract, but I understand why the Warriors might want to wait until they know what happens with the buyout market, because they are going to be an intense target in that. But when I watch Weber, I think of him as being very capable, and so I'm not sure that I would rather have Jose Calderon than Weber at this point. Calderon has a much better track record and is a wonderful passer, but Weber plays with energy, he's better defensively, and if the role is really to be a steward, in case Livingston misses time, in case Curry has to either be out or have a short night, I'm not sure that I would rather have a guy like Calderon over Briante Weber. And if that is the way the coaching staff, the way the front office is thinking about it, they should seriously consider signing him to a rest of the season contract. And for those of you who listened to the Durant decision podcast they did early last week, I would guess that the Warriors will not, even if they agreed with that logic and gave him a rest of the season contract, they would not do anything other than like a team option for next summer because of the possibility that they need to use cap space to sign Kevin Durant. And theoretically, in that case, any money they give Briante Weber after this season would come out of that, and it would make it harder to retain some of their other talents. So unless they know something I don't, and they certainly could, that would be my best guess if they like him as much as they might. And we will have to see. It will be another test of the front office to see whether they want to make that decision before they know what happens with the buyout market, because those guys just have to be waived by March 1st before March 1st in order to be eligible to play for the Warriors in the playoffs or to play for anybody else in the playoffs. So it will be interesting to watch all of that, but we'll have time to think about that at a later moment. This was a nice win for the Warriors, a successful game for them, really in all facets, especially considering it looks like they stayed relatively healthy. Draymond looks like kind of the walking wounded a little bit later, but I don't think that was due to anything else other than cumulative stress. And another absolutely massive game for the Warriors on Saturday, at least in terms of emotion. I mean, regular season games, I talk about all the time with this team, don't have that much resonance, but it's an important game all the same. In Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant's return game, national TV game. So we'll see how they come out. If they come out like it matters to them as a team, then they probably will win it comfortably. They are much better than the Thunder. But the Warriors have this penchant for taking teams lightly that they've dominated before and feel that they should beat. So it could certainly swing the other way, and it would not be catastrophic if they lost, you know, especially considering Oklahoma City is playing well. They just beat the Cavs, who are floundering in their own ways. And the Warriors do not need a win in this game to secure the top seed or anything crazy like that. So it is more emotional than it is important. But it's interesting all the same, and to see how the reactions, and appreciating a game like that for what it is certainly the best way to approach it as a regular season contest. So if you have any feedback on the show, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com, at DannyLarue on Twitter, DannyLaRueX. And we will be back tomorrow night. I don't know. I assume I'm going to have a guest, but I don't know exactly for sure right now. It'll depend on timing of everything else. And if you're interested, Nate Duncan and I are doing the Twitter NBA show from Twitter HQ in San Francisco. So you can watch that. You can check it out on Periscope and follow Nate Duncan NBA on Periscope on Twitter. We'll be tweeting it out. We will do a halftime show and a postgame show. And since there's only one game, we will do both those on that. So thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.
Rush into Old Navy today for this can't-miss one-day deal. 50% off all Old Navy active for the family. Get the workout wear you need at a huge 50% off one day only today. Hurry in or miss out at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/20, select styles only, excludes in-store clearance.